This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Mental health is a very topical issue, and it's not something to be frowned at, neither is it something to be laughed at. Woe betide. It should never be dismissed. And many of us are feeling anxious at the moment. We're stressed and we are really a dreadful people, full of anxiety and dread. But research shows that younger people or talented people who get job opportunities abroad and ditch South Africa, their mental health has improved significantly whilst they board a flight and get out of here. And that's so interesting, intriguing, and additionally troubling. Tyler Myroniak is the assistant professor at the MU School of Health Professions, and he's the lead author of the study. And I think MU is Missouri University. I stand to be corrected. But hello, Professor Tyler Myroniak.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
And firstly, do I pronounce your surname as?
Yeah, it's a tricky one for sure. It's Myroniak.
There we go.
You did a good job, yeah.
Myroniak.
Very few people get it right.
Thank you for your patience, and thanks. Okay, and thanks for that correction. So you are Professor Tyler Myroniak, assistant professor at the University of Missouri School of Health and Health Professions, and you're the lead author of the study.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted us to be clear about it in case somebody wants to upload the research and read it. And thank you, because I know it's the early, early hours of the morning for you in the United States. So we
Indeed.
Really appreciate your time. Okay. So what were you tracking in the study? What were you looking? What question were you looking to answer? And what's the methodology you used?
So the main question we're looking to answer pertain to internal migration, so people moving within South Africa rather than abroad. And we were looking to see if after Black South Africans move to another place within South Africa, is there any associated change in their emotional well-being? And we measured that in a couple of different ways. And the data come from the National Income Dynamics Study of South Africa, which is this nationally representative, longitudinal study that began data collection in 2008, and we go up to 2015. And these data are really, really useful because in a lot of countries, let alone in sub-Saharan Africa, such high quality data, being able to measure things about people, the same people over time, this is really rare. So what we were trying to do is figure out the right ordering of events.
Okay.
So I just
want to clarify something. So this is not about people leaving South Africa. This is about people moving in and around South Africa.
That's right. Yeah. Internal migration. Exactly.
Okay, so it is our error to say people who leave South Africa feel better, because I have to qualify that I was a bit troubled when I heard that, because I used to live abroad and I didn't necessarily think the grass was greener on the other side. So I wanted us to enter into that conversation. But let's focus then on the internal migration issue.
Yes, exactly. And with such good longitudinal data, what we're trying to figure out, like I said before, is the causal ordering, or at least coming closer to that. Oftentimes in migration research, whether we're looking at international migration or internal migration, it's often unclear, you know, did people's health, whether it's physical health or mental health, improve after they moved? Or was it the people who were in good physical health and had good mental health that were able to move or had the capabilities to move at that time? And so these data kind of allow us to tease that out a little bit better than most studies.
And what did you find? So people were leaving rural areas for urban areas or one city for another city. What were the trends?
Yeah. We don't look specifically, we don't measure the direction of flows, but we look at changes in did someone move within the country in the previous 2 years?
Okay.
How far did they move in terms of kilometers? And then also, did they move between provinces? However, we know from, you know, a wide swath of literature, most of the movement for Black South Africans is towards major cities, and the biggest draw being Gauteng. But at the same time, we can't also forget, and a lot of good research has done this from scholars out of WITS, for instance, there's a lot of circular migration. So people go to major cities, you know, earn a fair bit of money, be able to send it back to families, and then at some point return back home if they're from a rural area. So it kind of all depends. There's a lot of motion, a lot of movement within the country, and a fair bit of circularity. Okay. So in this study in particular, we don't look at the direction of migration flows, just at the characteristics of the moves that people undertake.
And so when you are also asking questions, because I'm going to assume you had to ask the question as to what was impacting your mental health before the move, and how did the move help you overcome some of those issues? What are the actual elements of mental health or stress that you were focusing on?
Yeah, so there's two main measures in the National Income Dynamics Study. The first is kind of a holistic life satisfaction measure. At every wave, so that's there's 2008, 2010, 2012, and 2015, individuals are asked, how do you feel about your life as a whole right now? 1 to 10 scale, 1 being very dissatisfied and 10 being very satisfied. So that's the one measure.
Yeah.
The other measure is quite a bit more complicated, but also externally validated, meaning that it's found to be effective in a wide range of contexts throughout the world, is the CESD-10 depression scale. And this was developed in the 70s. And there's a whole list of, you know, there's a list of 10 questions where people are asked to kind of give an answer between this happened rarely or none of the time to all the time. And, you know, they're asked during the past week, you know, to respond, I was bothered by things that usually don't bother me. I had trouble keeping my mind on what I was doing. I felt depressed, et cetera, et cetera. And the higher the score that you have, means that you have higher risk of depression. And we used the kind of well-accepted cutoff within South Africa of a score of 13 out of 30 to determine if you had 13 or higher, you were at high risk of depression. If you were under 13, you had lower risk of depression. So those were the two main measures that we came up with. And because we are able to look at them, the same exact measures in each of those waves, we're really able to look at here's what was before and then measure here's how it changed in the subsequent waves. And that's where we really come to our main findings. So we have the longitudinal data, we have the correct causal ordering, we have nationally representative data, and we're able to make some really good inferences and find out, these trends.
So what are those inferences? What have you found?
So the main findings are, for Black South African migrants who simply move, and if between, you know, from one wave to another, or if they move, you know, further distances, that's associated with improvements in life satisfaction and lower risk of depression. For those individuals who move between provinces, you also see the same results. So after they've moved, you see improvements in life satisfaction and lower risk of depression. And for those who move within provinces, you actually see an improvement in life satisfaction as well. And what this really comes down to, I think, is people who are able to move, you know, make good decisions, they know what they're doing, and they're able to, you know, in the end, the move was a good set of circumstances. It was a good situation for individuals. Right. And that was pleasantly surprising to find, because, you know, a lot of research that we have on migration and associated mental health, emotional well-being suggests a different type of story. So this was quite interesting. Yeah.
So I know your data is actually quite specific. I'd like us to speak to generalities, if we may. So what are some of the reasons that people give? So, for instance, we're told that there is an increasing trend of people in Johannesburg moving to Cape Town or to Durban, basically moving to the coast. And these are professionals who probably have executive jobs and good careers, but they are leaving the rat race of a place like Johannesburg for a slower pace of life in either KZN or Cape Town, and for what they believe is a better quality of life and environment to raise their children.
Sure. So in these data, we're not able to look exactly at the type of individuals that you're describing. But in prior research, it's pretty clear that more than half of individuals at least say clearly that I'm moving for work. And then, you know, the other half of individuals have a wide array of reasons, such as for family, whatever it might be. It's rare to find in migration research those who are moving for pleasure or for change of scenery. There are individuals who do that, but on the whole, most people move because of a job situation or for family reasons. With that being said, in migration research, what people say for their reasons for moving isn't necessarily the truth. What has been found in a lot of qualitative research, is in-depth research and surveys, is that people are kind of unreliable and describe or justify their moves retroactively. Right. So for this study, and as the case in most of the migration research in South Africa, we're talking about migration of individuals who typically need to migrate in order to gain economic upward mobility for their family members.
And I was going to say, and so I guess there's a direct correlation, because if you've left somewhere where you either didn't have a job or you had a low wage job and you move somewhere where you get a better job and you earn more money, it's almost instinctive that you would be happier? Or are we assuming too much?
No. So in our modeling, so you're right. In our modeling, what we're really interested in was this, you know, migration effect and how that's associated with emotional well-being. But we account for a whole bunch of other factors within these models. And one is the change in employment status. Now, that's not the primary focus of this study, but what we see is that for those who become employed as part of the move from previously being either not active in the economy or being unemployed, we see that that's also associated very, very robustly with improvements in life satisfaction and lower reduction in lower risk of depression as well.
Now, back to the generalities. I mean, every day when we are on a show like this, we are speaking to the depth and the scale of problems in South Africa. And, you know, it can be quite disheartening, because even if you're trying to find a pocket of hope, somebody's able to just burst your bubble with a very real lived reality. So South Africans are contending with many things, Prof, from rising crime rates. There's always been a crime problem, but now it's worse. Okay, and it's literally at your doorstep. Then there are the infrastructure issues like energy. And yes, there's been 16 years of load shedding, but now it's worse. Then we talk about, just before we had a conversation with you, water outages on top of the load shedding because they haven't fixed the treatment plants, the storage plants, etc., etc. So not only do you not have lights, you might not have water, and you might get mugged. So when you just start to look at the lived reality in some of these South African cities, it's situations that are creating a lot of anxiety and stress, especially if you've got children to manage as well, because you're worried about their well-being and your own. And is it a case where South Africa, with these very particular circumstances, it's creating a situation of a nation with a heightened stress load?
There's been, you know, a lot of good research addressing, you know, these things that you just mentioned. And, you know, regardless of you know, migrant status or wherever, you know, people have been, there's a lot of good anthropological in-depth research describing, you know, fears, you know, within neighborhoods, the heightened anxiety, you know, around violence and those sorts of things. And within migration research, that, you know, I don't mean to downplay that at all. Mm-hmm. That isn't a part of the study, but there is really, really good research documenting the insecurities and the vulnerabilities that a lot of migrant workers mm-hmm. face. And, you know, whether they're men or women, young or old, moving to a different place comes with a lot of risk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the least privileged migrants, you know, often might have to, let's say, move from a rural area to Johannesburg area and take on informal work mm. and live in substandard housing because that's what's available at the time, and being away from family members. Maybe they don't have the social support system that they once had. There are very, very real consequences on the ground that you described, and those certainly affect individual well-being in the short term. And here with our study, we're able to kind of take a bigger picture and look what happens a little bit more long-term. But those are, those are very, very real concerns. And there's a lot of good researchers out there who have really documented this on the ground.
Okay, before we look at interventions, I want to go back to my first thesis, what we thought the study was about, which was immigration out of the country. Mm-hmm. And we have seen a wave, and I know this is not your research, but we have seen a trickle of South Africans, especially young people, looking for opportunities abroad, taking up jobs in the City of London, even in Eastern Europe. I've seen many young black South Africans moving to the Czech Republic or taking teaching jobs in China, mm-hmm. even to the United States. And I know it's the international experience aspect of it, and it's the wanderlust, you know, the opportunity to travel the world aspect mm-hmm. of it. But does that come with an increased sense of emotional well-being?
That's a really good question. There isn't a ton of research on changes in emotional well-being for international migrants or immigrants, as you describe. One of the things that we know for sure, kind of, it's very, very widespread, is the individuals who are able to move across borders typically have the means, they have the resources, mm-hmm. they have the educational attainment to even have the chance of doing so. And there certainly has been a lot of brain drain out of South Africa for such opportunities. That's been well documented for high-paying jobs in other mm-hmm. countries. And, you know, personally, I know people within South Africa who are in a very similar situation. What are the opportunities in the UK? What are the opportunities in Canada? Places that are fairly friendly to migrants from South Africa. So, it's certainly an issue. But it would be great to learn more about emotional changes and emotional well-being for those individuals.
Yeah. Because I think it's complex, you know. I think there are opportunities overseas, for sure. There's no doubt. And there is a wealth of learning that comes. But I think South Africa offers quality of life issues that you won't find abroad. And so people are having to juggle that kind of scale. Do I want to live well? Or do I want to travel and explore and learn more? And it's the sorts of things that people are having to do. Okay, so now that there's this data, how can it help public health research and policymakers to understand the population better?
Yeah, one of the things that motivated us was internal migration is really something that people do all the time in almost every country in the world. Mm. International migration is much more rare, but people move within countries all the time. And our goal is to kind of shift thinking towards looking at internal migration and thinking of it as a public health issue. So in an era, especially in South Africa, where there's population aging. People are getting older. They're more susceptible to non-communicable diseases and dying of older ages because of cardiovascular disease, cancers, things like that. There's there should be, and there is to some extent, an increased focus on mental health. Mm-hmm. People are living longer, and we need to take care of the other side of individual health. Mm-hmm. And we know that moving is difficult. In the short term, there is absolutely no doubt about that. If for individuals who have undertaken a migration, whether you're moving, within your city or a little bit further, there's a lot that goes into it. And because so many people do it, and in the case of South Africa, it's a very highly mobile population within the country, it's really an opportunity to think about not only what's the mental health of people who migrate, but also about those who are left behind who might wish to migrate, but they don't have the means, they don't have the resources, they don't have maybe the connections in a preferred destination city in order to do so. Okay. So one simple thing could be at the primary care level, healthcare workers could screen for mental health via, are you interested? Do you have a desire to move to a different part of South Africa, a different city for a job? And then even just having a discussion about that, because it's pretty clear that there are benefits to emotional well-being, right. It appears, based on these data, for being able to migrate. But what about those who aren't right. able to, who really wish that they could?
Okay.
So that's, I think, the bigger picture. Yeah.
And Prof, there is a question from a listener, Joel. Joel, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Prof, for the research. I just want to ask that the focus on internal migration.
Joel, we're losing you a bit. We absolutely lost him. I have no idea what he was going to ask, so so I can't even try to interpret it for you. It's just a pity. But I think thank you for your time. Oh, there he is, Joel.
Yeah, sorry, man. I just wanted to ask that the internal migration that they've been able to do a study, did it only focus on South Africans or also on foreign nationals who are in the country?
Okay.
Because once they are in the country, they form part of that particular research. But then the second question is, out of those that their lives would have changed, whom out of the research would have been better, whatever the case may be, is it people that are having a higher skills base or... you've got three categories.
Okay. Joel, we have to interject. We've literally got a minute. So who are we talking about, Prof? Do you consider immigrants from other countries who are here, whether they're here legally or illegally? And then secondly, the skills level.
Right. So the first question is only about 1% of our sample includes those who were born outside of South Africa. But the skill level, what we chose to model is change in employment status. The model would have been overspecified, including changes in educational attainment, because that's more of a fixed characteristic within this time span. So we don't measure changes in educational achievement or anything like that. It's due to our modeling choices. Yeah.
We thank you so much for your time, and we thank you for waking up all the way out there just so that you can talk to us. We appreciate it. Professor Tyler, I'm going to try to say your last name correctly, Moroniak. From the University of Missouri School of Health Professionals and the lead author of the study.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.